Good morning. The Lord of the saints out there, and those in this local fellowship, I have made this recording today, which is a Saturday, for this message to be prayed for tomorrow's service, which is a Sunday. Now that you're watching it, I have been trying to come to fellowship on Sunday, but in the last 2 weeks there has been new developments in my health, and I was warded in the hospital to get the things drained out, and unfortunately the radiologist who did the insertion of the drainage tube made a mess of what a simple procedure was supposed to be, and the 5 minutes of inserting that giving me a whole lot of pain, and of course everyone was upset. My wife was upset, and the neighbor complained. Because after that insertion, I went to the ward all in pain. A procedure which was supposed to be particularly painless. It gave me a pain for the whole almost 2 days until which that tip came off again. By itself, it was supposed to be anchored and not easy to come out. But it came out by itself in the night, and my bed was filled with blood. From the drainage. And I suffered those 3 days of stay there, on which a new radiologist, another radiologist, fix a new insertion in. Which was of course another day of stay there in the ward. As you can see now, I'm quite breathless. Earlier days before I went to the hospital for the drainage, the medication that was given gave me a whole lot of pain. Now, not really pain, but sleepless night. Because the meds is actually an opiate. And because I have a fentanyl, patch on my shoulder, which is basically also an opiate, and I was also on the tablet Tramadol to take in case I have a lot of pain. So with Tramadol taken and also the patch that is on my shoulder, that particular night I was not able to sleep. I thought that I was suffocating. I put my head down to sleep, and the moment I was about to drift off into sleep, I found myself suddenly couldn't breathe, and I had to struggle to get out and start pending away. And then after a while I tried to lay by my head to sleep again, and when I put of a head down as I found myself going into a sleep. Within a second or two, I felt that I was being choked in my throat and being suffocated, and I had to jump out again from the bed. This continued throughout the night. Practically, I didn't even sleep a wink for 24 hours, and the following day, it happened exactly also the same. So I was 48 hours without sleep, and that's when I went to the hospital to have it drained, and then found that perhaps it could be the drug. So I cut down the drug, the doctor cut down the drug, and I was able to sleep. And when I came home, I tested it, and I realized that if I take another part of painkiller after 8 p.m., I will not be able to sleep. Now this has been going on and off since the last 2 weeks. Going to the hospital and insert the drainage tube and having all the problem. So I came back last week and found myself very breathless. And when I lie down on the bed, it's easier to breathe. When I sit up, I find it very hard to breathe. Especially in the morning when I get up from the bed, I have to sit on the bed for a while. So to make sure that my BP is not too low. Because when I have a low BP, then I find myself feeling a bit giddy. And there are other things, of course, affect me. I couldn't walk straight, I have to stay on his fault a bit, because even after the drainage is gone from my abdomen, there's a new kind of pain that came. And this new pain is just under the ribs, and at the sternum, just below the sternum, that one spot around there to read it out, it hurts really bad. And now I cannot find myself walking straight upright without tearing myself. Last Sunday I wanted to go to fellowship, but Saturday night I couldn't make it this morning even. Last night I slept at 10 o'clock, I got up at 12 o'clock with pain, and so I had to take some morphine. And then I slept, and there was a struggle in the sleep, because I found myself also drifting in and out of suffocation. And I got up this morning at almost 10 o'clock. So I was thinking that if I were to go to church, if I cannot sleep well in the night, I get up late, I will not be able to go, and I'll be struggling to try to clean myself, having to go to the toilet, having to eat something. So I decided to make this video, in this message, talk to you and play it for you. I want to say this, that through all this life experience that I have, in the last few weeks, I going through lots of pain and suffering, but I have always been through pain and suffering for most of my life, I would say. And when I look back, through my life. What the Lord and how the Lord was dealing with me. I give glory to Him. I praise Him for His grace and His joy. And in calling me, in choosing me to be a son of God, I find my life to be a life of grace and mercy of the Lord. Gave me something that was so precious. I cannot express my thanks for what you've done for me. And truly, as Paul said, you have chosen us before the foundation of the world. We are not chosen Him, He has chosen us. And He has chosen me for one purpose, for His own purpose, for His own plan. You know, I'm not related much of my life in His ministry. And the Lord called me to the ministry. I have kept many things the Lord dealt with me, spoke to me. I'm not making it known because as I said, in my messages and in my books, there are always sanity people out there who ridicule and it's not just a sinner out there ridiculing because they don't know who I am and they don't care about Christianity, but it is the people who are in the end time message, not even the denomination. The end people who are supposed to say they love the message brought up by them, but they're just full of baloney. They don't know what the scriptures say and they just simply hit out again someone. People that they don't like. And I, doing all this in the early years of my life, because I know about human psychology and human behavior, I have kept it to myself and not bring it out. But since after so many misunderstandings and discrepancy they are brought up by some big preachers in the States and Europe that realized that as the Lord said, time for you to make known your ministry, make known who you are. You know, I look many times, I love the Apostle Paul. He's only one apostle that stands out who made bold claim. He was a man, as I said many times, if anybody look into what he wrote, he looks like he was a man full of arrogance and pride. The way he spoke, the way he wrote his epistle. But he was bold enough to make a stand for who he was and what he was called for to do. And Well, that's of course that being in the scripture. People read the Bible and say, well, that's Paul. We are known Paul, but who are you? And this is the problem that we see in the Bible believers who call themselves Bible believers, but who really do not know the Bible. So, you know, I have been keeping it down all these many, many years until, you know, the American preacher whom I associate with, Brother Jackson, who started to ridicule me, who started to attack me as if I was not a servant of God, or even as I said, I never called Brother Gunn, I never said that Brother Gunn is an apostle. So the arrogance of that brother caused so much problem for those who associate with him as well as for those who associate with me. And I've kept mum for maybe about 2-3 years down the road until the Lord told me and I have to make myself known. You know, when I first came to the message in 71, I thought, well, this is a great message the Lord given us to Brother Branham, a simple message everybody would agree upon and believe in the same thing and walk in the same faith. But it turned out that the more I heard after within two years, from all these big preachers, America, Canada, and New Zealand, Australia, and Europe, I found out, wow, it isn't what it was supposed to be. And those who are so close to Brother Branham, that many of them are practically the cause of all this fanaticism. But the Lord has pulled me out there between the 2 years when I saw what was going on. I would have been like them if it wasn't for the Lord who stopped me in the way, as he did with the Apostle Paul, who was on the road to Damascus, looking out for the people of the way and bringing them to prison and put them on trial and persecute them. So the Lord put a stop in the way I was going, in the spirit of pranimism, in the sense that because I was so brainwashed by the 2 years of hearing all these preachers say what the tape says, say what Brother Branham said, say exactly what the book says, say exactly what the tape says, and so on and so on. Brother Branham was vindicated. He was a prophet whom the word of God comes only to the prophets. So he's the only one that have the true interpretation of the word. And Brother Branham has received the full revelation of God. There's no more revelation. There's no more mysteries. You know, my heart at that time, hearing all that, I was quite distant, knowing what the Bible said, because I'm a student of the Word, not a student of books. But my mind was so messed up in the back that the Lord put me on this trial, speaking to the 3 overseas missionary fellowship missionaries. So much so that the Lord shut my mouth from speaking any further the quotes of Brother Branham. And that's when my heart was broken. There was only one time one of the few times that I hurt the Lord real bad, that I can never forget even to today. To think of it, I feel so bad, I feel so sad, my heart's broken. It's always been that way, because it is not the word that not the word of our blame that I broke, but it is the word of God that I have broken. to substitute his word with the words of man. It's not that the Prabhupada Brahma's word was wrong. It's because the way that people have twisted it and misplaced it. And don't even understand what he was saying. You know, that incident still haunts me. But I'm glad because I studied the word even before I knew the message. I studied the Bible and knew about history, a bit about the history of Israel, the prophets, the law. So when that day came, when trying to present to this three missionary that God had sent a prophet, they were asking the question, you see the only prophet, I said, no, there are other prophets, but they were never to, and I couldn't continue, there were never more than one major prophet on the earth at the same time. That was the word written in the book of the seven church ages. So I could only spoke the first few words and the Holy Spirit shut my mouth. And I realized what's wrong, because when I was quoting in the back of my head, I already knew that it is wrong. Because there's history in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that there are actually two major prophets, contemporary prophets on the earth at the same time, crisscrossing the north and the southern nations of Israel and Judah. So that was really a lot of pain in my heart that day. And slowly it is true. Sometimes we know what to do right, but we don't do it right. But I thank God that I did not continue with that. And I made the mistake to those three missionaries. That's when the Lord spoke to me later on. Do you want to hold to the words of my prophet? Or the word that found in the sacred scriptures? So from that day on, I could only preach from the scriptures. Because that is the absolute truth. If it's not in the scriptures, then we are nothing. We are just ideas and opinions and so-called revelation. That's why we find in all these many anti-Adventist churches teaching that are from some big preacher in the States or Europe or Canada who propagated all the way down to Asia. And you find that in the Philippines, India, even Africa. Yes, we are living in the Odyssey age. It's an age where you find people wanted their own rights, their own opinion on what they think is really scripture. This was in the days of Jesus Christ. The religious leaders just make the tradition of the elders as if those were absolutes, force it upon the people. But yet, they're all full of errors because they were just misinterpretation of what the law of Moses and the prophets stood for. Now, let me say something about what I'm going through that you might understand. Yes, I have a lot of pain and suffering in the night. I couldn't sleep, I got up, I prayed, I cried, I laughed, I rejoiced in the Lord. Facing my bed, I could see the wall where this plague that you have seen it before. The plague that the back in the late 60s or early 70s, I can't remember the actual date. I don't know how I got this plaque. I mean, I don't know where I got this, what do you call, when it was pictured or posed that I got it, and that I pasted on the board and cut it out as a plaque. I don't remember where I got it. But here, you can see it here. The Lord may not have planned that this should overtake me. But He has most certainly permitted it. Therefore, though it was an attack of an enemy, by the time He reaches me, it has the Lord's permission. And therefore, all is well. He will make it work together for all life's experiences for good. I have this plaque since the late 60s, something, I can't remember what year it was, or early 70, I can't remember. And I have always treasured this, all these years, and always remind me, in my walk with the Lord all these years, and now that I've experienced what I'm experiencing now, I realized that it wasn't something of a coincidence that I have this block. Just remind me of what I'm going through. Yes? Two persons in the Bible that I always remember when it comes to suffering and pain. One was Job, telling me how that Satan just wanted to prove to the Lord God that Job loves him because the Lord blessed him. And he would take away everything from Job, to curse him to the face. That's what Satan wanted to prove. But the Lord knows better. And yet the Lord allowed Job to go through all that which he went through. Sometimes you wonder, I wonder why did the Lord have to prove to the devil? And his own children have to suffer. Job had to suffer. But yet of that, God knows about Job's life. And He's teaching him something. There are a lot of things that we do not know and we do not understand. So all these things work together for good, for life experiences for all those who love the Lord. Whether there's a whole lot of suffering or not. God has His purpose. So my suffering and pain, all this, almost a year now, obviously, 6, 7 months now. Was something, of course, that had been prepared throughout my life from the very beginning, and that was after I was born. And when I look back, I realize I was sitting and trying to thwart God's plan for my life. When I look back, I understand. I was born in 1948, and a year later, at age about a year old, my half-sibling sister, who was around 10 years old, carried me, had to go down a flight of steps from the second floor into a shop house. She tripped, and we both fell down all the way down the flight of staircase. And I landed at the floor, at the foot of the staircase, on a hard concrete. I do not know what happened, of course, as a child, as a baby. But the thing is that I survived without any serious injury. Perhaps there was a little fat head up there in the back of my head, a little flatness down there. I'm not sure whether it was when I hit on the bottom of the stair. And as I grew up, as a child, back in those days in the 50s, Singapore was going under a turmoil after the British was with us, began to withdraw, and Singapore trying to stabilize Malaysia and also being trying to stabilize their country. There's a lot of changes, and as a kid, I was kind of running around, playful, getting myself into trouble, many times into minor accidents. When I was in primary school, I think around primary 4 or 5 years old, I was stung by the wasps. I was stung by a wasp, and I reacted to the toxin. Didn't know I was going to school, and that was when I was stung by the wasp that caused my face to balloon. Puffiness around my eye, around my hand, my chest. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't see. So I went to the class, sat down. Before the teacher came, my classmate next to me looked at me and said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "What's wrong with me?" I couldn't really open my eye because everything was puffed up. "So your face looks terrible." And then a little later when the teacher came in and the boy told the teacher something is wrong with me. When the teacher saw me, my face like that, he immediately called the ambulance. He didn't call the ambulance, but rather he quickly took me in his car and took me to the general hospital. I could have gone into an anaphylactic shock or some other terrible situation that could have taken my life. Throughout the primary school to the secondary school, there are a lot of other accidents too. I almost drowned in the swimming pool. because I don't know how to swim, jump into a pool, not realizing that the bottom of the pool is slippery enough. It wasn't for my half brother was nearby, I would have been drowned right in there. Then when I was in the secondary school as a teenager, I almost had a bad spinal injury. I was playing and climbing up a large drainage, fabricated concrete tube. There wasn't a few, there were many of them, about 5 feet high. So we climbed up there and run along it, and when I jumped down, I forgot to bend my leg, bend my knees, and I just lay with my knees straight, particularly the hope I was, my body was perpendicular, landed 5 feet up, and the entire from the feet all the way up to the hip, all the way up to the spine, it goes right up to the top of my skull. As if something was choked into my throat, I couldn't breathe, I was stunned, I couldn't move for quite some time. I spoke from me all the way, I was young, from me, pretty and thin. And then when I stopped walking, I had several near-miss motorcycle accidents. It could have led to severe injury. Like in those days, in Singapore, we have a lot of roundabout. Where there are a few crossroads, rather. We entered the roundabout and we need to filter out. And there were several times when bad drivers drove coming in to try to get into the circle, the roundabout, while I'm filtering out. There were many near misses. And one time it was a rainy day, I was carrying some milk, some strawberry milk, to the hospital where I work. And this car came in at such high speed, and he only jammed on his brake the last minute that he saw me, and I too jammed my brake and I went skiing, and because it was wet and it was oily on the road, I fell off the bike, and a whole lot of this milk, strawberry milk, was spilled into the road. It looks as if it was blood. It was another time that in the night, past 9:30 in the night, the road wasn't badly lit back then. A boy ran across the road and gave me a shock of my life that I quickly turned and thought, what was that running across the road in front of me? I would have hit him. So when I turned and looked, I forgot to look in front, my bike was going fast. And then I suddenly saw a taxi. I stopped on the side of the road and I jammed my brake and I hit the back of his car and I went flying over the top of his car on the side and landed just barely about a feet, a foot or a soul before the trench, which was dug by the public worker department, where they were laying cables and pipes and whatever. If I would have landed in there, I would have very bad severe injury. Then of course, when the Lord called me into the ministry, back in the 80s and back in the 60s, rather, telling me what I was supposed to do, and I just wrote it down in my Bible. And just leave it there to see how the love will unfold. Back then, of course, being that I came from a poor family, being a firstborn child, I make sure to help my mom put food on the table, and my father was really sick. And back then, I really loved the Lord. He called me back after my 2 years back in Sweden State. That's the moment the time came, and there was one of the time, few times that I cried a lot. I cried the altar for 2 hours. After he called me back with a message called the prodigal son come home. I cried for 2 hours and I repented for 2 hours. And from that time on, the Lord, I said, I sought the Lord to find out what was His will and purpose and plan for my life. And, I put it aside, and it was only in 71. About 3 years later, after he showed me what I was supposed to do, that message came. And yet, I don't know what to do because I was still working and left the denomination. But the Lord began to speak to my heart to do what I need to do, and He guided me along the way. So we did as with a small group, we printed small literatures that soon grew up to be what it is today known as prophetic revelation. And it was in 1980, a year before I began my apostolic ministry, before I was called, the call from India to go to preach. And so I had a call from Philippines to go to preach there, to minister to them. It was in 1980 that my family and I were in America, Jackson's Church, for a convention, and we came back. On the way, we brought the children to Nisley Land. And it was that when we came back to the hotel that I was a monk in LA. I was mugged by 3 black men. 2 of them was pulling my bag, so they had to get what's in the bag. I would not let it go, so they started kicking me, and I started to kick back. I was thrown under the floor, so I started to kick back while I was lying on the floor. One of the black men was so upset with me that I almost hit his groin. That is 8 foot or 10 inch, his size 8 or size 10 feet, one of his foot. He tried to smash my face with his foot. It was the instant that I moved my head to the left, to the right, that he brushed my left ear, that I realized I had to let go of the bag. I could have been killed. With his foot landing on my nose, bashed into my nose and into my brain, I could have died there and there. For all I know, he could have put out a gun and shoot me. I let go of the bike, and he ran toward the car in the back lane. So we lost our passports, but fortunately we have a family who lives in Oakland, whom we knew. So you invite us to stay with them till we get our documents in order to travel back to Singapore. And in the week I was staying with them, I almost was killed again by a runaway horse. Within 2 weeks, I mean, within a week, rather, two times, I could have been dead twice. This was a runaway horse. I love horses. I rode on this horse. In the Oakland Mountain, I rode up just to view, you know, as far as I could see on the mountain, San Francisco Bay, Oakland Bay, whatever the place was, I can't remember now. So after spending some time up there, I decided to go back home, rode the horse down the mountainside. And as the horse started to go down, there was a cliff on my left, and that like a wall, and there was just a little path on the side of this cliff. And on my right, as I look down, is the clevis. If I were to fall, I would fall all the way down, and would be dead, and nobody would know. So as I rode the horse down this path, which is about maybe like 5 feet wide, there's a dirt path on the edge of a cliff. So as the horse had to move down, he started to bolt. Started to run away without any provocation. He started to run. And I couldn't pull it. He said back to stop him because he was already fixed his downward and to just run. So as I ran, I decided to let him go, but to let him run his distance. But when I looked ahead of me, I realized that along the path there was a tree that was growing on my right side of the cliff, and its branches was across the path right at my throat. It was that instant when I saw the branch of the tree, I started to, you know, well, do some kind of circle act or something. Throw my body to the left and hold to the rein as possible, and the branches and the leaf scraped my ears and my shoulder, and I went under it. If that instant I did not notice it, I would have hung on that tree like Absalom. And nobody would know, because the horse would have just continued home. Or I could have knocked off by the branch and fell off the cliff down the clevis. But I thank God for that. So the horse passed through under the branches, under the branch. It continued down the path until it goes upward, a little incline of the slope, that it began to slow down. It was able to put the horse to a stop. So when I look back at the track, you know, my heart, was in a state of a shock, that my mind was just going back and was just going to look, my mind just fixing on the tree and just think that I could be hanging there on by my neck, the Absalom in the Bible. All these things that were going on all those past years, I realized what God was doing. And then my first overseas call to India was in 1981, April. To that region called Peshawar. Because I didn't know back then, I don't know how India was like, how hot it was, or how cold it would be, or how clean, how dirty. And the pastor, he invited me to call me to go. Well, he was so used to the heat there, 42 degrees Celsius. Humidity was just barely zero. It was so dry that the following day when I reached there, I woke up with all my lips cracked, my nose started to bleed in there. It was so dry that I find it hard to breathe. I suffered the whole week. I preached in the morning, night, and you couldn't sleep. And the hotel room that we stayed was just barely a bare room without anything, a bed only, with a bathroom that has no water. The water has been taken out from the well by the staff who works in the hotel. Actually, there's nobody in the hotel. Actually, it's a very old hotel that was run by Shank. And we have a fan, the same fan, and go tap, 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 tap. For 3 nights, I couldn't sleep. It's too hot. Until the Lord, by the grace, on the fourth night, they told me to use water. And everywhere I go, I try to be more discerning, try to be more prayerful, as to help the Lord to guide me through each and every of those places. So we throw water on the floor, dam the water, 1 inch high. The water will not go out the room because there is a raised platform at the door. Soak the whole bed, which is made of coconut husk. Soak the whole bed with water, pails and pails of water. Of course, the hotel people don't mind because, after all, it's a Rinpoche Shack hotel. There's nothing there in the room. It's just a bed made of mattress that's made, filled with a coconut husk and pillow. The same thing is hot and dry. So we soak the pillow all that and just damp it, make it really damp. And then I slept that night in my underwear, no shirt, nothing else, just my underwear. And I was able to sleep for about 8 hours, I believe. I got up early in the morning, the floor was dry, the bed was dry, the pillow was dry. To show how dry it is, the humidity is practically zero. Yes, there were times when I was in India, we went to a lodging house, they were so filthy. Also in the Philippines, there were rats, there were cockroaches, there were bed bugs. How can we sleep with bed bugs? We were in the lodging house in India and we had to pay. We went in for 5 minutes, the bed bugs are coming out while we're just lying on the bed. So we just get out of the lodging house, pay the man. I can't remember how much he paid him. Our room was supposed to stay for a night, but how can we ever sleep in a bed with thousands of bed bugs? We couldn't believe it, thousands of bed bugs. There were places where the air was so bad. A lot of pollution in Africa as well. Stay in a hotel near a slaughterhouse where there are birds crowing, this crow. But all these years, the Lord has been so gracious to hold my health. And I've been sick. The only thing I have is all my throat problem because of the dust and filth. But I always was at my post of duty. When I come back, I always at my post of duty at the pulpit. That's how gracious the Lord has been to me. Doing, you know, ministering the word of the Lord, the word that I love so much, you know. But all the word, of course, the devil tried to bring me down. You know, to many people who do not know what fivefold ministry is all about, they have no idea. What the Lord is actually doing in this end time. Giving us a message. A message that prepare us and get us ready for the coming of Christ. Get up. Are people ready for his coming? The church the body of Christ should be as bright, prepared for the bridegroom. But apparently a lot of people do not understand, do not see. Even in the fivefold ministry, very few people understand about the fivefold ministry, especially about the apostolic ministry. You know, Paul said this in the book of Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you can, you can just turn to your Bible. First Corinthians chapter 4, you know, verse 9, Paul said here, "For I think that the God has set forth us, the apostles' loves, as it were appointed to death. For we make a spectacle unto the world, and to angel and to man. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we blessed, being persecuted, we suffered, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write this thing not to shame you, but as my beloved son, I warn you. For though you are 10,000 instructors in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And how true that is, few people do understand the apostle ministry. There are a lot of people in Africa, a lot of preachers in Africa, who call themselves apostles. Been surprised because Pentecostal charismatic has now infiltrated into the anti-message people and their understanding of the apostle ministry is according to traditions. If the apostle ministry is placed first in the fivefold ministry and the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles, what does it tell us? It should tell us something, that this gift that God gives is a way where God provides revelation, understanding of His Word. No, there's no one apostle that has it all. But there are ministers in the state that claim they have it all. No, they can say that, no, not one apostle has it all. Yet, in saying that one statement, they're not being truthful. And that's the problem with it, that some of those men in the states are spouting, trying to force people to believers and other preachers to dance around their pulpit. What a shame. And this has caused so much trouble in the entire message. The poor have everything, have all mystery revealed to him. Did he? Well, there are some fanatics in anti-message that say yes. He had every revelation. All revelation is already given to Paul. Jacharya was even given the Protoprana. And then when he asked them a simple question, what is the mystery of the mark of Cain? They do not know. And they will give an answer that says, well, if Prabhupada don't preach it, if Paul don't preach it, it means it's not important. That's a fool's talking. That's what a fool will say. Because if anybody who is a child of God, who has sanity up in the head, and have the Spirit of God in the heart, he will not have said those things. He'll be cautious to what he say when he opens his mouth. There are mysteries in the Bible that God is always unfolding. In the golden nugget here and there, when it's big or small nugget, God is unfolding. But they say that Abraham had it all, Paul had it all, it is just baloney. And for you preacher out there who think you're somebody when you're nobody, you better be careful. And this is a warning. It's not a threat. Because you, many of you preachers out there are liars, deceivers, opinionated, try to force people to believe on you. You lie. You cook up stories that are not even true. And you dare to get away with it even when you're convicted. He is none so blind as he who not see his own mistakes. May God have mercy on you. All Paul said was so true. The apostles' glory was first in place, yet it shut last. And they be made a spectacle unto the world, to angel and to man, and to all those around. Yes. We are made weak, but you are made strong. It's because in our weakness, as Paul will go through, that's what I've been through. It's the Lord will deal with me and give me understanding of the Bible to feed you and give and ground the people in the world. Yes, I may not be an apostle to everyone. I'm an apostle to whom? Those who will take me as an apostle, and they are the sign or the token of my apostleship. And I know throughout the years many have been very blessed by the ministry and have written me and appreciated. I want to give glory to God for all that. It does not mean God used me, that God used Paul and subject Paul to all this pain, subject Paul to all this suffering and pain, subject him to weakness. And being despised by men. Yes, I have been despised in many ways. Looked down upon many years. For those who are not known the ministry, who do not know me until lately, you will not know what I've been through. Ridiculed, openly ridiculed. In Africa, openly ridiculed. In the States. Oh yeah. True. But that's alright. Even till today, in Nigeria, you have Amos, who considers himself the lead apostle, to tell the congregation, his people, that Richard Gann is a false apostle. But he knows who is the false apostle. There are people who has been sealed with a hot iron, blinded, to believe the lies that they cannot get out of. Oh, may God have mercy. Yeah. Well, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and verse 17, you know, Paul's letter to the Philippians. In verse 40, it said, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yea, in I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and joy with you all. For the same cause also you do joy and rejoice with me. And I pray that be really so. And I'm very thankful for what the Lord has been doing the last few of these months. I rejoice, I cry with joy when I see the some of you brothers and sisters, they were so responding with love. I saw agape. And when I couldn't sleep, I got up. The Lord opened my mind, I saw agape. They had never seen before in the life of some of you brothers and sisters. Of course, there are other brothers and sisters in the fellowship. They are yet to experience it. And that's one of the things that begin with, is do all things without murmuring and disputing. When you start doing that, you can never experience the agape of God. But I want to thank the Lord for what you have done for me. I know that you collect some offering and to support me with the food. You know, I've been in and out of the hospital with some procedure being done, some tests being done. The MediSave and MediShield are limited. They only allow a certain portion to be used per year. That all runs out and they have to pay cash. But I thank the Lord for your offering that helped get me some good nutrients. I want to thank some sister brothers who provide me with some good nutrients to help me to get my energy as much as I can. I want to thank the Lord for you. And the prayer of the saints from other countries as well. And the encouragement and admonition. Now I made this video to let you know that I do not know when I can go back to fellowship again to be able to minister. Now you can see that I minister okay. But it's getting up in the morning. I don't know when I can get up in the morning because my sleep is disturbed at night. Sometimes in the middle of the night I have to get up with pain. Now there's a new pain that came, as I said. And even it's the stubbing pain that goes right down to the pelvic again. And the pain that is in the rib cage at the end of the sternum, and it's not a good feeling. Sometimes you have this difficulty of swallowing food. It can come anytime. Sometimes you can swallow all right, but sometimes I find it hard to swallow, and I get out, be lost. And sometimes I get out in the morning, get headache. I mean, not headache, dizziness, bloodlessness, and nauseous feeling. But the Lord is good. Give me strength to go through from day to day. You know, I don't know how, now that I experienced this health issue, I realize how bad and how painful and how difficult a journey it is for those who suffer from cancer. Yes, some believer out there will be thinking, say, oh, well, the guy had cancer because he was a false prophet, a false apostle, a false teacher, false preacher. He preached false doctrine, that's why he got cancer. And I'm warning you, be careful what will come out from your mouth. If it wasn't for the Lord who allowed Satan to put it on me, then what? I know the loving hand of God that reaches down to fallen man and lift him up above the plain where he is strong. And until you know just how to feel, you don't know anything. You know nothing until you know agape. What has Job done that he deserved it? What has Paul done that he deserved it? What about Brother Branham? Dying, accident, in a twisted car with his feet and hand wrapped around his steering wheel. What have you done? Think about it. We have a lot of believers with such evil thoughts. If you're evil thoughts, then you can't be a Christian, much less being a Bible believer. May God have mercy on you. So in closing this, I want to say I would try my best to go and minister when I can. Just getting up in the morning and prepare myself to go. That has been very hard because of my sleep at night. I was thinking that I would be able to go tomorrow, being the Sunday, and share with you what's in my heart, but I'm not sure because of the breathlessness, breathlessness that I would get when I get out of bed in the morning. And I'm trying to relax, and when I sit straight, I would have a hard time trying to breathe. So may the Lord bless every one of you. May you continue in the grace of the Lord. Hold fast the faith God has given you. The world is not going to be okay. It isn't. There's too much problem in the world today. And the world war could really start very soon. And some politicians said that it's already on, the world war. We'll be waiting to see what happens in the Middle East. And if you and I are not getting ready, then we're going to miss what we are looking for. May the Lord open your eyes, give you grace, you be strength till He comes for you. God bless every one of you. In Jesus' name. Gracious Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your grace. Let each and every one of us know your people be worthy of the gospel. Help us to walk in the light in this last few grain of sand of time. Bless everyone, Lord, who love thy word of truth. When the word is Christ, and the Christ that we know is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, be gracious to all. Strengthen thy servant, Lord, as though we were Father. I cried, not because I'm dying. I cried, Father, because I want the flock to be around my flock, Lord, to be around my people. And nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. Suffering and pain I have are always for years. And they brought me on this journey to here to be tested. Yes, Lord. And I know that you give strength continually to see me through. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless everyone now. In Jesus' name.